No, that's good. Thank you. Oh, my. I'm glad to see both of you out there today. I know it's a... I'm going to be mean to you. You know what? It's such a small group here today, and that's okay. I mean, I'm not upset or anything, but let's move forward. Why are we spread out from one end to the other? Let's just, like... Yeah, but when we take communion, it's nicer to do it together. Okay. Just kind of move forward a little bit. You don't need to come the front row if you don't want to, but okay. I'm just being fickle this morning. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, Pat. If Pat can move, the rest of you can move. Yeah, I could move. I could come down and stand right next to you. I've done that before. I don't know. I just thought it'd be, you know, a little nicer to not have to need binoculars to see you guys. When I was looking through this week's scripture verses, I basically got done reading it, and I said, well, I guess I'll just re-preach last week's message. Now, that may sound silly, but we find that actually in the scriptures that many times we're told the same thing over and over and over again. And we're going to go into maybe that a little bit today. But we'll look again at the message. But let's just look at the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. You can look up on the screen or look in your Bible. And this is Jesus again praying just before he's arrested. My prayer is not for them alone, referring to his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's me and you. That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your prayer that you prayed on our behalf, that we could be one with you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you then went to the cross so that your prayer was not just words, but Lord, it was letting us know what the result of your works would be. And Lord, we thank you for that work on the cross, which allows you to live within us and us to be with you forever in heaven. Lord, we ask that you'd be here with us this morning and help us to garner just a little bit more understanding of you and your love and what you would have for us in our lives, what you would have us to be doing, what you would have us to be abstaining from, and what you would have us to be partaking in. But Lord, most of all, help us to understand the reality of your love and how we can best express it to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Watching I channel surf. Any of you ever do that? Okay, I don't watch an entire movie quite often. Either I sit down and I don't, because the commercials come on and that distracts me. So then I gotta turn something else on. And I'll watch like 6 shows. I'll go back and forth, and it drives Donna nuts. Not that she actually pays any attention during a show. She's usually going somewhere else or something. And she'll talk on the phone. She'll be reading magazines and doing other stuff while the show's, you know, if I'm watching a show, I'm watching the show, but then I'll go watch other ones too. Okay. Anyhow, I was channel surfing. And I came across an old movie from when I was a kid. Karate Kid. Anybody here seen The Karate Kid? Yeah. In the early part of the movie, I can't even remember the kid's name. He gets beat up. 5 kids just pummel him, and this old guy comes up and Daniel-san, yes. Mr. Miyagi comes up and he pummels the pummelers and sends them scurrying away with their tails between their legs. Takes on the 5 bullies who are all part of some guy's karate dojo. Anyhow, this Daniel ends up being Mr. Miyagi's student. He's supposed to learn how to do karate. And he says, okay, now you just, it's my job to teach, it's your job to learn. Okay, yeah, I commit to do that. Okay, no questions. I tell you to do it, you learn it. Okay, wash my car. He had like 5 cars to be washed. And he didn't just say, well, you do it back. He says, no, you say, you wax on, I'll wax off. Okay? Then he takes all day and all night, you know, late in the evening, and he gets the cars all done, all washed, all waxed. And Mr. Miyagi comes out occasionally, oh, nope, wax on, wax off. You're not doing it right. Don't rub like this. You guys go like this. Wax on, wax off. This one. Anyhow, then next day he's got him down. Down the floor, okay, we gotta sand the floor. I'll sand the floor. Oh, that's this direction. You gotta do it this way. Okay. And got this big deck, wooden deck that he wants to sand the floor on. So he sands the deck. The next day he comes out and he's got him painting the fence. Why do you paint the fence? You go up and down with the wrist. Long strokes. Okay, and then one board you do with the right hand, the thin board you do with the left hand. Wide board with the right, thin hand. Goes the whole thing. He's got like, does the whole fence, and he says, well, have you done the other side? Better go paint the other side of the fence, because we all know that there's 2 sides of the fence, right? Well, he paints the other side. Then, the next day, he says, tell him to be there early. He shows up early, and he finds a note. Paint the house. And little directions, side to side, no up and down stroke, side to side. This is how you paint. First, one row of with the right hand, the next row with the left hand. It's got the siding. Well, he's done Mr. Miyagi shows up just as Daniel's finishing up painting the house, and Mr. Miyagi's been out fishing all day. Well, maybe I would have wanted to go fishing with you. Since then, you got me painting the house. You know, when am I going to learn something? He said, I've been teaching you. You haven't taught me anything. Also, you've made me slave labor. You've had me do this. You've had me do that. And Mr. Miyagi, and he goes, fine, I'm out of here. Mr. Miyagi calls him back. Says, Daniel-san, you know, calls him back. Tells him, wax on, wax off. Goes through all the things. You know, no, this action. Boom, boom. Then he starts throwing punches at him and kicks at him. And Oh, I didn't know what I actually learned was motions that could be used. But doing it over and over again created a muscle memory. Chris is learning about muscle memory right now. He's taking some martial arts class and look at his wrist. It's developing some real muscle, some real memory there. It's got a nice big memory. But you learn how you do it over and over again. When I was in gymnastics, we had to practice over and over again. And you know what? The coach had to watch us when we were practicing it over and over again to make sure that we were doing it right, just as Mr. Miyagi watched Daniel, to make sure that he was doing the motion right. Because if he was doing the motion wrong, well, when you're not doing you do it the same way you practice it. If you practice osteesis, if you practice a play, and you don't do it the right way, how are you going to do it when it comes time for a game? You're going to do it the right way, or you're going to do it the wrong way? You're going to do it the wrong way. When I was in gymnastics, you know, if the biggest trouble we would have is we would get a bad habit. We would learn a bad habit or, you know, start doing something a little bit wrong, you know, maybe, you know, cheating over or holding our hand wrong or something. Doing the flip, you know, you got not pointing the toe or something, little thing, but you do it over and over again, you can't break the habit. And you have to be told over and over and over and over again, you got to practice over and over in order to learn it. And once you learn it, you've got it. So that when Mr. Miyagi throws the punch, just automatically do the wax off or the wax on or whatever needs to be the right defense. You just know it because you practiced it over and over. You don't have to think about it anymore because you've learned it that well. When we look at this Gospel of John, especially this last verse, we are told over and over and over again about the love of God for us. Because if God tells us over and over and over again that He loves us and that He's cared for us since before creation, if He continues to tell us, and not just tell us with words, but tells us with His actions, His deeds. Because a picture or an action is well worth a thousand words, isn't it not? We need to hear the I love yous, but if we don't see the I love yous, you know, if I say I love you and punch you in the face, you say, well, I really didn't believe you. How many of you would believe me if I said, I love you, and I punched you right in the face? Nobody's raising their hand. Christopher is, yes, he understands. Yeah, I love you too. Yeah, exactly. No, our actions have to meet up with our words. The actions all by themselves can be good, but we need the words also. Now here he is, Jesus is telling us over and over and over again. Why? Frankly, people, because we're not so smart. We need to hear it over and over and over again so that it becomes like the muscle memory. That when things get tough, we don't have to even think about it. It just automatically, we know God loves us. There's no question. Just because things fell in the dumper doesn't mean that God gave up on me. That's not even part of it. That has nothing to do with whether or not God loves me. Because I know God loves me. How do I know that? Because He's told me again and again, and He showed me again and again. So that when things do fall in the dumper, we go, I know that He loves me. And that gives us the strength to get through it because we can lean on God. And our faith can be strong because the Lord has taught us that. Just like Mr. Miyagi teaching Danielson. The Lord tells us over and over again. And Daniel didn't even know he was learning. And quite often, we don't even know that we're learning that God loves us. But one day we realize, hey, God loves me. Hey, cool. Now one day that realization will hit. Something will happen, something will go on, and you go, God loves me. Wow. And that's an experience. You might end up sitting down, crying. You might end up being like, wow, and just feel great. It just might be a sense of peace that comes over. I don't know how it's going to manifest itself in you. But it will, or maybe it already has. Some of you could probably tell me about the time, the first day you realized God truly, where you really knew. Not that somebody had told you, but you knew it. God loves me. And it wasn't something that we had just heard or read, but it was something that we knew because we had been taught it on such a deep level through repetition and repetition, time and again. Because frankly, we are slow learners. We see it in the book of Judges. Time and again, the people of Israel, God, save us from the Philistines. They're being terrible mean to us. And God would raise up a champion who would deliver the people of Israel. And the people of Israel would then say, okay, great, and go back to being, turning their back on God and doing whatever it was that they thought was right, each doing as they saw fit. And instead of following God, following their own desires. And in that instance, it took the nation of Israel, literally, a couple thousand years for God to bring them to the point where he said, okay, here I am in person. Here's my son. I'm going to deliver you once now for all time. And here at the very end is Jesus praying that prayer. And the ends. Let me just read the last verse again. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them. But the very love of God for his own son is that same love that he has for me and for you, for the entire people of the world. It's there for everybody. And he is going to the cross for the purpose so that he may be in them. So that he may be in you. He may be in me. May is a permission asking word. And for him to enter in to be with us requires us to say, yes, Lord, enter in. Because love is a choice. Somebody says, I love you, and shows you that they love you. Until you choose to love them back, you cannot know the fullness of their love. You just can't. Doesn't mean they don't love you, but you just are not capable of receiving the fullness of the love. And until we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were incapable of knowing the full depth of God's love. It's manifested in the Holy Spirit residing and living right within us. So, this is Jesus' closing prayer. These are his words. That as he's choosing to pray, he is continuing the lesson of telling us that he loves us, so that when it comes time for us to make the determination to understand that yes, he loves us, so that we can say, I love you too, back, and receive him as our Lord and Savior. So it's not questionable. I don't know whether I should receive him as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if he really loves me. He's trying to tell us. He's trying to teach us by telling us again and again and again throughout Scripture and again throughout this prayer, again and again throughout the life that he walked on this earth. So that I myself may be in them. So towards that end, I'm going to ask Butch to come up and do us a special number, and then we're going to receive communion this morning to celebrate the fact that